You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast. We're looking ahead to racing at Catterick, Musselburgh and Kempton on this edition. Do join us on Racing Radio for all of the action on Wednesday. Myself, Sam Norris, will be in the presenter's chair, joined by Gareth Topham and Ollie Pimlott. But on today's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to four races on Wednesday, it's a very warm welcome to Tom Morley. How are you, Tom?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good stuff. You've you travelled up from sunnier climes this
I
morning.
Have, yeah. Bit dismal as I got further north, but maybe it's going down south, the opposite direction to me or something.
Indeed. Fairly quiet week in terms of racing. Obviously, we had cracking action last week on the Knavesmire, but a little bit of a lull this week, Tom.
Yeah, definitely a quiet start. Bank holiday yesterday. I think it was Rafe Beckett who tweeted something about Cartmel had the most valuable races
yes.
compared to any of the flat meetings. And certainly the start of the week, it's quality-wise not particularly picking up, but I guess there's got to be races for every horses, and it's competitive.
Indeed, quite right. I think it was the best attended meeting as well yesterday, Cartmel. 15,000 there for their, I think it's their final meeting of the summer as well.
Yeah, the chap in charge, he's leaving,
yes,
isn't
for,
he? He's,
for
he's
done Kelso, I think.
Well, he's done a cracking job at
yeah,
Cartmel.
Definitely.
As you say, they get the crowds in. It may be a very unique track and probably not one that I will ever venture to, being jumps. But no, he's done really well there. And every time I see it on TV, it looks to be absolutely heaving. So
yeah.
I won't say it's their loss necessarily, because he's clearly built out good foundations there. But Kelso, I'm sure, will be looking forward to seeing what he can do for them.
Yeah, quite right. And everyone who's ever been to Cartmel seems to have nothing but positive things to say about the place. It seems to always get a good review from people who go racing there.
Yeah, which is what it's all about. There's plenty of negative stuff thrown out, so it's good to have some positivity sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. Just a quick word on a couple of runners then and their potential destinations for later on in the season. We'll start with the Ebor runner, which was, of course, Nikita for Ian Jardine. And news this morning, Tom, that he's being mooted for a potential tilt at the Melbourne Cup. Obviously, Heartbreak City won the Ebor last year and was narrowly denied in the Melbourne Cup. Could you see that as a suitable race for Nikita?
Well, it's going to be a huge step up in really in everything, to
yes.
be honest. I'm sure it will be a fascinating experience for Ian Jardine and all the connections of the horse if they do take up the option. I'm not sure how it goes on, how much the Australian people pay, if you like, for the horse to travel over and what's on offer to the connections of the horse. I mean, if I know we actually were looking at a race potentially in a week or two's time in Korea where everything
right.
was paid for one of our horses. And if you've got stuff like that, it's we're actually not going to Korea. It looks
okay.
it looks quite deep and quite like Savile, to be honest. But, you know, you're massively ahead of the game if you get a load of free stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's worth a try. So I don't know how much it would be subsidised. On the face of it, the horse would have to step up really very markedly. I mean, you only have to look at who Aidan O'Brien's got entered in the race, as well as Joseph O'Brien, Mullins.
Mm.
I mean, they've got horses that you would probably go to and look towards before Nikita. But, you know, it's a bold move, and you can't fault them for giving it a go. I mean, at the end of the day, if you've got a horse that's done so well for you and it's a chance of a lifetime, why not take that chance?
And as you say, if they are getting subsidised, then it becomes a little bit of a no-brainer, really, doesn't it?
It does.
To at least let the horse take its chance.
You know, I mean, I have no idea exactly what horses these connections have had before and things. But, you know, when you get such opportunities like that to go travelling around the world within horse racing and see how it's done everywhere else, I think it's certainly if the cost-wise is in your favour, it's something one should certainly look at and take advantage of.
Yeah. I think about 140 entries at this stage for the Melbourne Cup. It's 16-1. The field, by the way, Francis Vassisi and Thomas Hobson are the two 16-1 joint favourites at time of recording. But a strong European contingent at this stage anyway. Obviously, we've got a few months to go until the Melbourne Cup, 7th of November.
No doubt there'll be a few Australian and possibly New Zealand horses that will suddenly come right to the fore of the betting through some of those races in the months before, or in the month or so just before that. Bold entry, but all credit to them for giving it a go.
Absolutely. And some other news then regarding the Arc, which is a little bit closer, 1st of October for the Arc. Enable remains the even money favourite. Ulysses 8-1, it's 10-1 and bigger prices for the rest. But front page of the Racing Post today going with the fact that Martin Mead is happy for Eminence to go up against Enable, a horse who's just been a touch frustrating before getting his head in front in France. Obviously, she's going to be very tough to beat, but it's good to see that Connections don't seem to be shying away from the race. They're not running scared of one horse, it would seem.
And quite right too, because you should never really run scared of one horse. And as you say, Eminence, I think every time it ran this season, you're sort of thinking, oh, just if this had happened or if that had happened, and there was always something, you know, to give the horse an excuse and to perhaps give it another chance next time. Then over in France, we saw perhaps what we'd all been waiting for. It's a bold move. Obviously, it's going to would be a big ask. But if you look at the number of the other runners or potential runners who are only potential runners, they may not even go, that you might suddenly find that Eminence ends up being, you know, one of the leading main alternatives to Enable. So I think, again, you've got Fortune Favours the Brave. You've got a horse there that's certainly has the potential to show up well in such a huge race. I mean, you know, Martin Mead, he may not have the number of horses that some people do, but they certainly have some financial backing in the yard. I don't blame them at all. Why not give it a go? It could actually end up being a race that hasn't got huge strength and depth, and no doubt we'll see a number of the home team that will all have run very similar races in the various trials that will be falsely run, usually, and very hard to make head or tail of what will be just how good some of the home team are until the day itself. So, yep, I don't blame them at all. I think it's very well worth giving Eminent a go at that. And I think if it was my horse, I'd be doing the same.
Yeah, good stuff. And as you say, there are some horses that's towards the head of the betting that may not line up. Ulysses, the second favourite, 8-1.
Yep.
If they're working back from the Breeders' Cup, that programme might not necessarily include a trip to Shanty.
No. That's the thing. I mean, obviously, you're going to have Aidan O'Brien will have all sorts of ideas with his.
Yeah.
And then I would say most of those at the front of the market could have alternative plans. Mm. So it could end up potentially being a very weak depth-wise race, even though certainly Enable looks pretty decent.
Yes, indeed. At least we'll have one outstanding horse in the race. Let's take a look at some of Wednesday's races, then matters closer at hand. We begin at Catterick with the 320. This is a handicap over 7 furlongs. A Class 4 heat with 12 runners at the time of recording lined up to take their chance in this one. And the field is littered with course and distance form. We have a few horses, Tom, who turn up regularly in these kind of heats.
That is the thing, and I always do quite like course and distance form, and as you say, there's plenty of them here. I mean, I guess it will be interesting to see who market leader is tomorrow. I can see there'll be a certain amount of interest probably in the last time out winner, Tadar Wall, who handles all ground, definitely likes this track, but had been struggling and looked in grip of the handicapper really until bolting up last time here, and it was very soft that day. A 7-length victory on soft ground. Unsurprisingly, the handicapper's put it up £10. Now, what that just makes me think is, now that's miles above a mark that this horse was struggling on all season.
Yes.
So I would give that one a miss. There's a couple that I like that I would have thought would be a larger price on the day. One is this Shuranor. Tends to mostly run on soft ground or no faster than good. But I, at the moment, I think it's good to firm ground there. There's been obviously a few drops of rain in Leeds. So whether some of that's moved to Catterick as well. But this horse has won on faster ground. So don't think he particularly has to have cut. Equally, it's versatile at 7 furlongs as a mile. Been really consistent this year. We know it likes the track. although it's been soft ground when it's run here. I think this horse, back on a track it likes really well, should go well and ought to be a nice each-way price. Elsewhere, I think if we probably go down to the 1 second from bottom, Accru, who's having its second run for David O'Mara. Now, I see David O'Mara's got a lot of non-runners as we talk today, but this was picked up for 12,000 at the July sales from Lanigan. Hood's been kept on, ran much better on debut for this yard last time when second a couple of weeks ago, 16-1 that day, which, you know, that suggests that it wasn't particularly fancied, because, you know, this yard's obviously, you'd expect it to be a bit shorter, I would have thought, if they'd expected much. So whether it was a bit of a surprise, but actually was unlucky. You know, it's held up, stayed on, jinked a bit, the rider lost its whip, so probably could be valued to have potentially even won that day. So I think the two I definitely like in this race are Shuranur and Accra. Probably both will be each way prices. As you said earlier, I mean, there's a lot of old boys here who win now and again, but generally find one or two too good. I think Jacquard's an interesting runner. 3-year-old allowance, only run 6 times, won twice, including once here. Never run over 7 furlongs, though. And it's, of course, been off for almost a year, so you're taking a fair chance that one will be keyed up against older and, you know, match-fit rivals. The gender, odd decent effort, but really needs the blinkers on for the first time to help that here. Johnny Cavagan is another grand old servant, but long time since victories. You know, you can see that one running perhaps into third or fourth, but probably a little bit too much to ask for it to win. Bahamian Bird goes on any ground. It's won here twice at the start of the summer, but that was off marks lower than this. Still off 77 now. Hasn't run badly the last twice. Might appreciate the better ground, but again, you think possibly vulnerable off that mark. Moreb still £2 higher than its win at Carlisle in July. There's a number, therefore, that, you know, you'd be respecting. But I think Shuranur and Accra would be sort of two each way ones that I would pick against the field.
Shuranur and Accra, then, the two against the field in that 3:20 at Catterick for Tom. We go on to the 3:30 now, Musselburgh, for a sprint handicap. 5 furlongs to trip for this 3:30 at Musselburgh. 10 runners down to take their chance in it. And again, a fair few who turn up to these kind of engagements time and time again.
Yeah, and a fair few who tend to let others win. It's possibly a kind way of putting it. But you're right, I mean, there's a number again with some course and distance form, and it's probably worth picking a couple perhaps against the field again. And I'm going to go for the ones up the top end of the handicap this time. I think Orient Class and Royal Brave are the two that I'd be taking against the field. Orient Class has only run twice here, won both times. Key thing when it comes to muscle perform, because I think it is a bit of a quirky track and some horses just don't seem to handle it very well. Latest of this horse's 2 wins at this track was only in June on good to firm ground, which it may well be the same this time. Mark's only £3 higher here. Definitely could be helped by the better ground, because I think it's been running on a bit softer as well, dropping class as well from its last couple of runs. Royal Brave, same sort of thing applies to this, in that this has been running in much better class contests the last twice. But generally, this horse has been in good form all year. Mark is now £13 higher, which, bearing in mind, it's won 4 times this season, I suppose isn't actually too bad a rise. 3 of those wins were also here. Last 2 runs have shown this mark is still workable. A couple of 4th places, and I said they were definitely in better class contests than this. Goes on all ground as well. Looking further down the, if you like, the field, Bogart, I mean, this horse has been in good form, but last one, well, it seems like last century. Mm. Can't knock him in a way. At least 3 of the last 4 runs have been decent, but unless one thinks it's a Thirsk thing, because they happen to have all been at Thirsk, he does seem to be now at a mark where you would think this horse at some point will pop up, but possibly not today in my mind. Rosina unsurprisingly retains cheek pieces after she snapped the long losing run with them on for the first time when actually won at Ayr last race. Had shown little twice before this season. £6 higher for the win, could be vulnerable because of that. Gamesome, well, this horse hasn't won since 2013 when Ollie Stevens trained it, and is just, to be honest, a hound. Pearl Acclaim, another who finds winning not part of his makeup, passed up weaker races than this, including a Seller and Claimer this year. I kept following this horse thinking, it's ready, I've given up. Kinloch Pride won four this year, but £16 higher than start of that. Form's flattened out. And those were Class 6 races that won. So this is a different gear to that. Economic Crisis, another who's not great at winning. Lower mark than when winning this last year, but that's for a reason. Lydia's Place has a chance in that, drawn from there, this horse is going to just jump and run, presumably. And I guess it's going to play Catch Me If You Can. And, I mean, perhaps if it's given a slightly free rein up front, that could go close. But I'm hoping that, you know, the top two, Orient Class and Royal Brave, can outdo that. I mean, Fumbo Jumbo is another one who's run well. Just looks as if the mark is a bit against it. But Orient Class and Royal Brave would be my two here.
Two from the top then, Orient Class and Royal Brave in that 3:30 at Musselburgh. On to the evening's action now at Kempton Park on the poly track for this 6:25, which is a mile handicap. Nine runners taking their chance at time of recording. And Mudalel likely to be the market principal here, Tom, given that that one arrives here in winning form and it scored over this track and trip when last seen.
Yeah, and I'd be pretty keen on this Mudalel. After four slightly frustrating maiden runs, was gelded, sent to the all-weather, as you say here, when run twice, decent enough fourth over seven furlongs, then up to this trip last time, dotted up. Found some trouble, yet still did it really easily. James Doyle still on board, up £8, but clearly going the right way, looks progressive, and could well be that all-weather is the key to this horse. And we know this track in particular has already done it. So I think Mudalel is a very logical choice. Looking at some of the others, Salutis run three times here as a two-year-old in maidens, placed every time. Won a maiden at Newmarket and a handicap at Salisbury this year, but bombed out at Sandown last time. So well being slightly on trust there, step up in trip for that one. Bad and Scoff, both wins have been on the all-weather. Arguments, that's probably the right surface for this horse, but it's £8 higher than Chelmsford win two runs ago. And, you know, Chelmsford wins can be a bit misleading at times, with form not always transferring to other tracks. But this horse has at least one here, £20 higher now, though. Could go well, but I'd be slightly think that this one could now be reaching the ceiling of its ability mark-wise. Esprit de Corps, first time at a mile, run all right this season, but lost ground at the start latest. You wouldn't want that one to be repeating that sort of trick here. Queensbridge, not been showing much this season. Mark's falling for a reason. High on Love had gone off the boil end of last year and opening run this year. Could have been flattered to finish, I think, second last time out. Stole lengths off the rivals, and they just... A lot of the rivals literally just didn't get into the race, so possibly that one's flattered. Sterling Silver and Ventura Blues seem to be regressive at the moment. I guess the main interesting runner, if you like, to look at against Mudalel is this Under Control. Only three starts, not seen for almost a year. Won its maiden at Musselburgh last back end, followed up at Chelmsford. You know, Pat Cosgrave at the time said this horse had the scope to make a nice three-year-old. So where's it been, basically? You know, could be anything, could be well handicapped, but you're taking a chance, and I'm going to stick with Mudalel, who at least we've got the form in the book 2 weeks ago, and know it's, you know, likes the track and everything's in its favour conditions-wise.
Mudalel then for Ed Dunlap and James Doyle to win that 6:25 at Kempton. Final race on today's podcast then. We stay at Kempton for another three-year-old handicap. This is the 7:55, mile and a quarter for them this time. Seven runners line up and an interesting mixture of profiles in here, Tom.
Very much so. We'll start with the top horse, Atkinson Grimshaw. I mean, it's a likeable colt. Won first twice this year. Followed that, two placed efforts at Newmarket. Likes the lead. And I suppose if granted some sort of an easy lead, could be dangerous from the front. Whatever, you think this horse is likely to give its running. And this race could possibly take less winning than the last two it ran in. I guess a lot of the eyes will be eyes on Asher.
Yes.
Really interesting. One run, one win at Newcastle, but that was back in March. Where's it been since? Even if you take into account Kevin Ryan's enforced absence, you know, there's been plenty of time for this horse to have run at some point around that. The form of that maiden's not great, but could only win easily, and she did that. Had an Irish 1,000 guineas entry, which obviously suggests they had some hopes for it. And it's not to forget that this was a €775,000 breeze-up purchase. So she's certainly one costly lady. Up in trip, from that maiden run. So you're really going against, you've got a horse, Atkinson Grimshaw, who's laid it out on the line and is probably almost certain to give a certain level of running against this, which could be really anything. I probably would lean to the experienced one myself, until I've seen more from Eyes on Asher. Amongst the others, you got Tough Rock. Blinkers lit him up last time at Goodwood, left off here unsurprisingly. Had run okay in a maiden prior to that, so probably not a no-hoper, but not for me. Pivoine. However one says its name.
Probably all wrong, they were.
probably. And to be fair, I think this horse definitely needs to be treated with caution. Clearly has more ability, I reckon, than has shown on the racetrack so far. The gelding seemed to make no difference last time, and so they've gone for a visor here. Well, maybe that will work, but I'll let someone else test that theory. Arctic Sea is definitely an interesting runner. Won a couple, including one here. This, though Mark naturally moved up since then, only try at this sort of trip was at this track, and really was given no chance that day the way the race was run. Best form is at a mile, but could have more to come at this trip. So that's an interesting horse to watch. Our Boy, just this year, has been a struggle. And then Outcrop, who had looked progressive up to May when he was gelded, only one run since that at Windsor, came last as a pretty decent hot price favourite. 2-1, pulled far too hard. Could bounce back, but still slightly wary about that one as well. So I'm going to go with the, if you like, out of the more experienced ones, Atkinson Grimshaw, because I feel that horse is liable to just run to a decent level. And if Eyes on Asher proves to be better, then fair play.
Atkinson Grimshaw then, Tom, sticking with experience in the 7.55 race at Kempton. Thank you very much for that, Tom. Just give us a quick recap, please, if you would, of your four selections for Wednesday's racing.
Well, I've sort of cheated, haven't I, by having two each of the first two races.
A little bit, yeah.
But at Catterick in the 3.20, the two horses I liked were Shuranur and Acra. 3.30, Musselburgh, the top two, Orient Class and Royal Brave. Then over at Kempton, Moodalel in the 6.25 and Atkinson Grimshaw in the 7.55.
Excellent stuff. Tom Morley's thoughts on Wednesday's racing. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio with myself, Sam Norris, joined by Gareth Topham and Ollie Pimlott on Wednesday. Thank you very much for that, Tom, and best of luck on Wednesday.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.